The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 25th, 1988 at Bhaktivedanta Manor in England. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 7, Text 26.
Ibis, three, Varnai, Paryastai, Buddhi, Bhedhai, Kriyodbhavai, Sarupam, Atmano, Buddhyet, Gandhe, Vayum, Ivanvayat, Ibis, three, Varnai, Parastai, Buddhi vedhai kriyod bhavai. Sarupam atmano buddhyet. Gandher vayum ivan vayat. As one can understand the presence of the air by the aromas it carries, so under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities. Translation with repetition. As one can understand, the presence of the air, by the aromas it carries, so under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities. Today is the appearance day of Janava Devi, Sita Devi. Anyone else? And Madhu Pandit. Of course, I heard that maybe this evening someone will be speaking on, especially on Sita Devi. You know something about, a little bit about Janava Devi. The identity, of course, of Sita Devi, Janava Devi, they are both internal potencies. We know that there are the internal and external potencies, Mahamaya and Yogamaya. And there's the, we are coming from the Yogamaya, but we are very small particles of the spiritual energy. Therefore, we're known as Jiva. And we are categorized as tatattva shakti or madhyastha shakti, being in between the external energy and the internal energy. We are able to fall under the control of the external energy if we leave the shelter of the internal potency. So Janava Devi, Sita Devi are both internal potency. So you can never fall under the control of the external potency. The external potency is expanding from the internal potency. Internal potency has no reason to come on this planet except to engage in the service of Krishna and the Lord to assist him in some pastime. Sita Devi's appearance is not like the appearance of a conditioned soul. She's eternally always liberated and can never fall down. Being internal potency, question of falling down never even arises. So actually the internal potency is our shelter. Janava Devi is also the internal potency. She's the consort. She's the incarnation or the descend of Revati, the consort of Lord Balaram. Balaram had two consorts, Revati and Varuni. and they descended as Janava and Basuda in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. We know that Lord Nityananda, at the age of 12, he went with one mendicant sannyasi, and he traveled to all the holy places of India. And eventually, when he reached Vrindavan, he could understand that Lord Chaitanya had begun his Sankirtan pastimes. So then he went to Mayapur Navadip Dham, and there he reunited again in this age of Kali with Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Remained in Navadip with Lord Chaitanya through so many different pastimes. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and katwa and went down to Jagannath Puri, after getting established in Jagannath Puri, he requested Lord Nityananda Prabhu to go back to Bengal and, for the sake of preaching, to take up the Grihastha ashram. But now that he'd taken up the sannyas ashram, what is the use of Nityananda Prabhu remaining as a mendicant? But Nityananda Prabhu never, he just always was a avadut, always was a mendicant, but as such, there's no record of him taking any specific vows or anything in that regard. Nonetheless, after being a mendicant for so long, normally one wouldn't change their ashram. But Lord Chaitanya said anyway, knew that Lord Nityananda was himself Balaram, so why should, already Lord Chaitanya is doing austerities, which is too harsh for the devotees to think about, that the Lord, who is the supreme enjoyer, should be doing austerities. Now, Lord Chaitanya couldn't tolerate that Nityananda Prabhu would also be in that kind of situation. So he ordered Lord Nityananda Prabhu also for preaching, to be an example for the other Grihastha devotees to take up the Grihastha ashram and be preaching in Bengal and occasionally come and visit him in Jagannath Puri. So Nityananda Prabhu went back to Bengal. There he established Namhat preaching, established the preaching all over Bengal, and wherever he went and people took up the Harinam Sankirtan, then he included them within the Namhata so that they would, in an organized, devoted manner, would continue on the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Nityananda Prabhu was in the house of Srivas Thakur. So many associates were there with him, having different pastimes. So, one day Lord Nityananda told Srivas that you, since Lord Chaitanya has ordered, you can look for where the suitable match is for me to marry. So then, that was the last Nityananda had anything to say about it. So the whole thing fell on Srivas Thakur. So then he had, looking around, but who can you find someone to match with Nityananda Prabhu? Unless, according to Vedic culture, there should be some similarity in qualities, in characteristics and taste, then a marriage union is considered to be appropriate. But how can you find it's equal or even near to Nityananda's unlimited qualities? So it was like complete hopeless exercise, practically trying to find someone. So Srivas Thakur, he told one king, King Krishna Horaras. So King Krishna Hora, whose capital was in Borogachi, he was a sub-king under the Emperor of Bengal, told him to look and see if he could find any suitable match. So he went to Suryakant Sarakela, one really powerful brahmana, who was the elder brother of Gauridas Pandit, was very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was a friend, was actually Subal Sakha in Krishna's Leela. So he went to his brother, Suryakant Sarakela, who was living in Shaligram village. And he requested him that he had two daughters who were very exceptional. No one had ever seen women like that at all. So highly qualified. And he was looking everywhere to find a match for them, but he couldn't find any suitable bridegrooms. Their qualities were so unusual. So he requested him that, why don't you consider Nityananda? Nityananda! What that other dude, he runs here and there. He started saying so many things. And Krishna Hora became very offended. Don't you criticize Nityananda Prabhu. You don't have any idea who Nityananda Prabhu is. It's very offensive. You don't understand his transcendental position. And Krishna Hora immediately left that place. Suryakant thought, how can I even think about marrying my daughter to someone who's just running here and there, preaching, and there's no fixed place, so on. But that night, he had a dream. And in the dream, suddenly he saw, I can't remember which order it happened, but he saw Balaram. And he saw Revati and Varuni, his two consorts. And then he saw Balaram turn into Nityananda Prabhu. And Revati and Varuni turn into Basudha and into Janava and Vasudha. It's one of those transcendental dreams. Everything is all effulgent. Even you want to wake up, you can't open your eyes. Shaking and sweating all over, seeing the vision, then his vision broke, he wakes up and says, what does this all mean? And he thought about it and said that actually his daughters were completely uncommon in every respect. So, highly intelligent, so beautiful, just it's like Lakshmi herself. Then he saw the vision. He thought that actually, maybe what Krishna Hora Das said was true, that Nityananda is actually avatar and my daughter is actually eternal consorts. What does it all mean? He was meditating on it, but he came to the conclusion that actually I must have committed some offense. This is correct. It's proper if my daughter is married. He thought that both of them married, since that's what the vision was. So then he called Krishna Hora and said he agreed to, if it was proved. So then Krishna Hora went back to Navadvip, Mayapur Dham. There, Lord Nityananda was with his associates. They're having a big kirtan in Srivas's house. After the kirtan, and Nityananda was just sitting down, having like a casual darshan with different devotees, talking with them. Then Krishna Hora calls over Srivas Thakur, whispers in his ear, and Srivas Thakur, he comes over to Nityananda, whispers something in his ear. Nityananda, like casually just sitting there, he kind of waves his hand, it makes those. That was it, finished, settled. Nityananda just went on preaching, wasn't right, preoccupied about the whole thing. So then they fixed up everything, and Nityananda Prabhu didn't want to, you know, launder on all kind of things, so it was just arranged that there would be an Adivas the night before, then the wedding would be the next day. So Nityananda Prabhu went to Krishna Hora Das's house in Borogachi, and then Janava and Basudha were at Shaligram. So then all the Brahmanas, they came and they did an Abhishek with water, turmeric, and so many different things of Lord Nityananda the night before, afternoon before. Then they went and they did an Abhishek of the two girls, Janava and Basudha. Then the next morning at Shaligram, then there was a full Vedic wedding of Nityananda, Janava Devi, Basudha Devi. It's a very elaborate description in the Bhakti Ratnakar about this whole wedding ceremony. Big kirtans, big feasts, big different
their qualities, very ecstatic. Then they,
Nityananda Prabhu took his consorts to Krishnahura's house, Borogachi. Then from there went to Navadip, from there to Shantipur, and Kalna. Like this one, different place. Then finally went down to Gordaha, which is near Panihati, just about 6-7 miles north of Panihati. And there he established his residence. Now, Janava Devi never had any issue. Basuda had two children, Birchandra or Birbhadra Prabhu, who is the incarnation of Kirudakshaya Vishnu, and Ganga Goshamini, who was the Ganges, common Chaitanya's pastimes. So Janava Devi, Basuda was kept with the duties of watching over the children. Janava was always helping Lord Nityananda in the preaching aspects. Whenever Nityananda Prabhu left, then she would give lectures on Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada says she was a very active preacher. Nityananda came back, she'd be the completely cooperative consort. This way they're having their pastimes in Kordaha. After Lord Nityananda left the world and went back to Krishna's, onto his spiritual world, then Janava Devi, she was had several assistants, like Abhiram Thakur, and several ladies' assistants, who were always accompanying her. She never would be alone. She'd always be protected by the different associates of Lord Nityananda. But she was in complete separation, and she wasn't going out at all. But then, when Narottam Das Thakur had the desire to have a big Gaur Purnima festival, and that time he took the help of Srinivasacharya and they arranged to have the big festival at Keturi Gram and to install big deities and to invite all the remaining associates, including Birbhadra Prabhu and Janava Devi, to invite Achyutananda, the son of Advaita, to invite all the remaining associates and disciples and descendants of the associates, immediate next generation that was still present. This was maybe some years after Lord Chaitanya passed, he disappeared, he returned to the spiritual world. So at that time, they sent a messenger to personally request Janava Devi to come to this festival. The night before, Nityananda Prabhu came in a dream and told her that she should go. Otherwise, she wasn't going anywhere. So that actually started a number of preaching pastimes of Janava Devi, where she went, she personally took the responsibility to bring everyone else. Because if she is going, no one else cannot go. So when she went, she stopped in all the places along the Ganges on the way to Keturi. Keturi is near the confluence of the Ganges, and she comes off as the Padma, which now the Padma is in Bangladesh. Keturi is also in Bangladesh. There's some discussions to take that up as one of our projects in Bangladesh in the future. It's a very important place. So there, Janava Devi, she took all of the associates that were still present in the planet at that time, Chutananda and everyone. She just went one after another. Srivas was either present or his brother, Sri Ram Pandit, was present. It took everyone, right? Just one after another. Shantipur, Ambika Kalna, Navadvip, and so on, Katwa. So when she came with a huge gathering of devotees. Lord Nityananda Prabhu's consort, Janava Devi, was going with Nityananda's associates, and then one after another, all the associates came. So actually, she was considered at that time like the senior Vaishnava of all the Vaishnavas present. So whatever they were doing at that Keturi Gram festival, before proceeding, they would go and ask Janava Devi her sanction. So is it all right that Srinivas Acharya does the arti? She was given that respect. She was in that position, actually, at that time. So then, that was such an ecstatic festival that when Srinivas Acharya was doing the arti to the deities that they were installing, the deities of Krishna started to emanate the aroma of Krishna's own personal body, his bodily aroma. So anything connected with Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, the bodily scent of Krishna, is all non-different. If you see Krishna, if you smell Krishna, there's no difference. So if someone is able to have the darshan of Krishna, we see somehow they go mad, in ecstasy, jumping up, falling down, paying their obeisances, and so on. Well, this was a unique kind of pastime that all of a sudden, from Krishna's deity, as this original transcendental scent of Krishna's, the non-different scent of Krishna's, why they could all realize Krishna through smelling. So as the scent was going, but you couldn't see it, no one could see what was going on. They would just see that it was like a wave kind of going over the devotees. All of a sudden it was, you know, like mustard gas or tear gas, and it's a transcendental Krishna's aroma. As it was going, the devotees would just completely become absorbed in Krishna praying, become filled with separation, just collapse, rolling on the ground and crying and just overwhelmed in separation of Krishna and various transcendental emotions as soon as they could smell Krishna directly. And no one knew it. I mean, devotees behind, and what's going on? All of a sudden, you know, why everyone's, you know, oh, Krishna! Just, you know, completely. So Janava, of course, was like, she was always on top of the whole situation at the time. And where everyone else was going through the various ecstatic situation. After that happened, then Narottam Das Thakur, he became so ecstatic, he started to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in the tone of great separation from Krishna. Krishna was present, everyone felt, then the smell went, everyone felt separation, various kinds of pastimes were going on. And then Narottam Das Thakur started singing kirtan and becoming getting more and more deep and slow and in separation. So the kirtan became so thick that you could actually, it was as if they were chanting in some kind of gel. You could just like slow motion, everyone's Hare Krishna, just completely just thick with separation. Everyone was so absorbed that it was just inconceivably thick. I don't know how else to express it, like under an ocean of nectar. They weren't moving in air, they were moving in the nectar of Krishna's pure devotion. So at that time when everyone became so filled in separation that practically just everyone was just almost at the point, it seemed, of leaving their bodies in separation for Krishna. It was so intense. All of a sudden Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, everyone appeared, fulfilled all the desires of all the devotees. Janava was reunited with Nityananda Prabhu, and all the devotees united with Lord Chaitanya, and everyone's completely, even the devotees that were never together at one place, the devotees who were in Vrindavan, and who never went to Jagannath Puri, and the devotees in Jagannath Puri who had never went to Navadvip, for those, they're all together, all the second generation and all the first generation from South India, from everywhere, whoever was in a social order, they're all present, boom, at that time. The big Mahakirtan, everyone, they became so ecstatic. I mean, they couldn't, it was just, you know, I mean, inconceivable. There, Lord Chaitanya, there was Advaita, there was Gadadhar, there was Srivas, there was Bir Chandra, there was Narottam Das Thakur, who had never even seen most of these devotees. They're all there at one time, and the big kirtan went on for like a night of Brahma, practically. Just went on and on. Krishna just extended the time, and they were all together having this incredible transcendental kirtan. And then all of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya and all of the associates who had already left the world, who had just come there out of there, from aprakat, from unmanifested pastimes, they all disappeared. And then everybody was completely devastated again. Completely, they're just collapsed, being deprived from Lord Chaitanya's association, rolling on the ground, and moaning and crying. So Janava Devi, somehow she was always the most on top of the situation. She called Narottam Das Thakur and said, go on chanting, start the kirtan again. It's no use just crying, chant kirtan. By kirtan we'll have the Lord present. Everyone did kirtan. Then they felt by the kirtan, they felt relieved that Krishna's presence through this holy name. They all felt relieved. Like there's so many transcendental pastimes happened under Janava Devi. Then Janava Devi, after this whole Kheturi festival, she went to Akachakra, to the birthplace of Nityananda. She went with a whole party of devotees to Vrindavan. On the way, they stopped at Akachakra. And that's a whole other very long pastime. She went to Vrindavan. She went on a complete Vrindavan parikram to all the holy places of Vrindavan.
And there are many pastimes there with Janala Devi in Vrindavan. Janala Devi was simultaneously Revati, and she also had some other, some combined aspect to her. I believe it was Ananga Mangjari. Yeah, don't know the exact significance, but so she has like a dual Nityananda consort plus some other nature she manifests also in Krishna's pastimes. So she went to Vrindavan, and she also encouraged all the devotees there just by having her association, a direct internal energy, eternal consort of the Lord, completely liberated, eternal internal energy. The devotees would just immediately become ecstatic. They would become immediately purified by her association. And she was very, very, she'd never, you'd be alone with a man. She's very, you know, even though she's in such a transcendental platform, but she'd always have her personal women attendants. And then, but she would always be protected when she was traveling. She would be man in the party who would be protecting the whole party, but her own internal situation would be completely separate. That there would always be other women associates, and they would be taking care of her personal service. But as far as like organizing the traveling, all that, that would be done by the men, Abhiram Thakur, Minikitam, Ram Das, so many other great Nityananda Parshads. Then Janala Devi, she came back to Bengal. She was preaching from Kordaha. People would come and take instruction. She visited some other places in Bengal. She took disciples also in Krishna consciousness. Some of the pastimes of Janala Devi. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are very sublime. They're most esoteric. That in Krishna's pastimes, the devotees came to assist in different ways. The same devotees came in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, but they took different roles to assist the Lord, because the Lord's role was different, where he came as a devotee. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he always prays that someone has the mercy of Janava and Nityananda Prabhu. If they've accepted their lotus feet as their life and soul, then for them Krishna Prema is very easily attained. For them, they're already liberated, even while being in the material world. So today is a sacred day of the appearance of Janava. It's also a sacred appearance day of Sita Devi, who is worshipped here, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Sita Devi is also internal potency. The opportunity we have of remembering the pastimes of the Lord, glorifying the great devotees, is that we know that the energy is the form of compassion of the Lord. So we always say Sita Ram, Radha, Gokulananda, Janava, Nityananda. And this way we approach the Lord through his consort. Because they are the personified compassion, mercy. So in this way, by approaching to the mercy of the Lord, then we can get his mercy very easily. If they give them mercy, and they're all personified compassion, so then it's very easy to get the mercy of the Lord. So we being the conditioned souls, we always fall under the external energy, unless we're under the internal energy's protection. So therefore we are always praying for the shelter of the internal energy when she appears in her in different forms. Radharani is the original, but she expands into so many different forms for different pastimes, different incarnations of the Lord. So each of them are manifesting different qualities, different activities. So we need the special mercy, especially Nityananda Prabhu. We know he's the most merciful. So we can imagine if Janava Devi is his consort, how merciful she must be. So we need the mercy of Janava, of Sita Devi, so that we can easily achieve pure devotional service. So we can actually have the proper attitude of devotion. So we can always be under their shelter, engaged in Krishna's service directly. If we don't have their shelter, then we'll be left out in the material energy. Prabhupada explained material energy deals with the conditioned soul very harshly, very roughly, like a cat catching a mouse, where sometimes by internal potency, while we're becoming purified, sometimes even the devotees, they are exposed to different tests, they're exposed to different kind of trials that they have to overcome. But this is like the cat, Prabhupada explained, taking the baby kitten. The cat takes the baby kitten by the back of the neck. But actually, that's not the same way as he catches the rat. The rat is to kill the rat, and the kitten is to protect the kitten. move the kitten from here to there, pick it up. The kitten is not actually harmed by that. So like this, sometimes the devotees do experience different kinds of tests, different kinds of tribulations, it appears. But actually this is all to fix us more tightly at the lotus feet of Radha Krishna, the lotus feet of Radha Madhav, lotus feet of Sitaram, Janabal, Nityananda Prabhu, so that we can be completely under their shelter and no longer be under the shelter, so-called shelter of the external energy. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So any questions? Well, if we get the Chaitanya Charanamrita Aliyalila Part 2, it's definitely there. That would refresh my memory. Bring it, then in the meantime I can ask. Any other? Yes? Is he a rich Brahmin? He was the leader of the Brahmanas. He was considered the leader of all the Brahmanas. Brahmins, as such, are not wealthy. Whatever they get, they spend it the next day. So that way, some days they may be rich, but then they'll spend it right away on Krishna. They don't hoard it like kings or Vaishyas. We know that Lord Dvaita Prabhu had a debt, because there was that pastime where someone wrote in Jagannath Puri to absolve his debt. And then Lord Chaitanya became offended. He wrote a Rasabhas. He said, Advaita is the Supreme Person of Godhead, so he should pay his debt. He said, if you're saying he's coming as a devotee, but if you say he's the Supreme Person, how you can say that you have to pay his debt? You can pay his own debt then. The whole thing is, so he became offended by this type of contradiction of use and bringing Advaita down to another level. Advaita wasn't Advaita had enough opulence for worshipping Krishna, but he wasn't like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was a Brahmin, but he was given so many villages. He was a rich landlord Brahmin. Wasn't like that. I don't think he had any problem, but he was. Everything in the spiritual world is person. So bhakti is also, just like the personified Vedas, it's personified bhakti. I do not allow that Baulia, Kamala Kanta Vishwas, to come here. Actually, since Lord Advaita is the Supreme Person of Godhead, there's no, he wasn't playing the, he has all opulence. Whatever he wants, he can get. He just lived in a simple way, but he had all opulence. When Kamala Kant Vishwas heard about the punishment by Sri Advaita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very much unhappy. But when Advaita Prabhu heard about it, he was greatly pleased. Seeing Kamala Kant Vishwas unhappy, Advaita Acharya Prabhu told him, "You are greatly fortunate to have been punished by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Formerly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected me as his senior, but I did not like such respect. Therefore, my mind became afflicted by unhappiness. I made a plan. Thus, I expounded the Yoga Vashishta, which considers liberation the ultimate goal of life. For this, the Lord became angry at me and treated me with apparent disrespect. When chastised by Lord Chaitanya, I was very happy to receive a punishment similar to that awarded Sri Mukunda. A similar punishment was awarded to Mother Sachi Devi. Who could be more fortunate than she to receive such punishment? After pacifying Kamala Kanta Vishwas in this way, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya told Lord Chaitanya, "I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You have shown more favor to Kamala Kanta than you generally show to me. The favor you have shown Kamala Kanta is so great that even to me you have never shown such favor. What offense have I committed at your lotus feet so as not to be shown such favor?" Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed with satisfaction and immediately called Kamala Kanta Vishwas. Advaita Acharya then said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Why you have called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways." When Lord Chaitanya heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only they could understand each other's mind. Then Lord Chaitanya explains that spiritual master shouldn't accept charity from rich men or kings. So Advaita was... But we haven't found Madhu Pandits. So I don't want everyone else to go out and Sankirtan. I remember a particular pastime he was in, it just started coming back to my mind. Any other question? Jai Sri Sri Bhagavat Ki! Jai! Srila Prabhupada Ki! Jai! Gopremanandi! Jai!